member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 23rd day of November, TARDIS Day. Anno Domini 2024, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, get off your shoes, don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues?
Avogadro's Day is coming up, too, Mole Day.
Right. Here comes the news.
Today's Mole Day, 10/23.
Oh, right.
6.02 times 10/23. So it's 6:02 a.m. and p.m.,
right. It's real mole day.
Have a mole?
The mole of moles.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Great news. Microsoft has invented the Chromebox. On Tuesday, Microsoft announced a new product called Windows 365 Link, which is essentially a desktop PC similar in size to Apple's Mac Mini or most Chromeboxes, which is a Chromebook in a box.
In a little box.
So it's a little desktop thing. However, while the Mac Mini is a full computer, Microsoft's alternative runs exclusively in the cloud, sort of like a real Chromebox. Please understand, it's not a full computer. Windows 365 Link has very light specifications. That's because the device streams Windows through the cloud instead of running a local operating system. Microsoft sees Windows 365 Link as an ideal device for corporate customers, essentially a computer for running cloud virtual machines, which is, we've been saying, Microsoft has been promising their investors for years. Here it comes. There aren't many details about the technical specifications yet. All we know so far is that the internal hardware has 8 gig of RAM, 64 gig of storage, and an undisclosed Intel processor. Again, the specifications don't matter much as the built-in hardware is only used to stream what's in the cloud. The thing is that Windows 365 is at least 4 years old now. And the subscription price is around $350 a year. When you add in the $350 device, in 3 years, you may as well have bought a $1,500 PC. That price needs to come down substantially. Microsoft believes that the new device brings security benefits to IT customers, as all data are encrypted in the cloud and there's nothing stored offline that can be stolen or hacked, just like a Chromebook. Unlike a Chromebook, however, this also means the PC becomes useless when there's no internet connection. Windows 365 Link will be available next year, and it will cost $350. It also requires a Windows 365 Link subscription, which starts at $28 a month and climbs significantly the more products you want included. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Microsoft has invented the Chromebox! Exclamation point. Your choices are, I can't wait. I'll check it out. I'd rather have a real computer. I'd rather have a Chromebook. And I'd rather be boiled in oil. So far, we've got 28 votes. And I'd rather have a real computer is in the lead with I'd rather be boiled in oil in second place. And of course, you can vote in the poll at soundbites.org. And you can also give us a call here, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 800-790-0415.
Hear me now, remember me later.
Yep.
I say it doesn't last a full year once it comes out.
Oh, you see, now here's where I disagree with you. This is a feeler, okay? This is a start. Because, like we said, we've been saying for years, Microsoft has been telling their investors that Microsoft in the cloud is where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Here it comes. This is toe in the water. The device itself may not last long.
That's what I'm saying.
But the concept is what's next.
Like too many other things that they do, they bring it out, do a little, like you said, put their toes in the water, and these other folks that are sucked in and actually get it, and then all of a sudden they're left out hanging to dry, right? Because, well, it wasn't really working out that great, and there's too many other Chromebooks are already out there. And you can do Google Docs and everything else and save yourself a hell of a lot of money.
See, in the corporate world, it's all about Microsoft Office. So they will sell quite a number of these types of things into offices. The problem is, as a box, it's less desirable than a laptop. People want to carry what they've got with them. The problem with this product is that, unlike a Chromebook, it doesn't work offline. So if you take your Chromebook to the beach, you can still do documents and spreadsheets and whatever you want to do. And when you come back to where there's Wi-Fi, it will upload them to the web for you. But with this device, if you're not connected to the internet, you cannot work. It's a brick.
See, the other thing that I would question, and I really do, because I haven't seen any really hard facts or that type of stuff, quantitative numbers on how much does Office really hold? I mean, because there are so many other products, like we've said, Google Docs and so many other LibreOffice, all these others
office,
that are free, that it doesn't matter. Like you said, when you were at RIT, you know, they wanted everything in, you know, Word or this or that. You could create a document, and they didn't know it. They could still pull it in. They could still read it, and everything was still there.
Yep.
And I think more of that is coming to evolve around now because it is free. It's saving people money, especially when everything else is still so tight.
Right.
Versus paying for 365, which, you know.
Right. Well, where Microsoft wins is that there are a lot of extra things out there for Office. So, for example, if you're a lawyer, you can buy an add-on for Word that does all the formatting.
Oh, yeah, the boilerplate stuff.
Right. And so that's where Microsoft wins, in those markets.
Yeah, but it's a special niche.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's a special niche, but they win. That's where they win.
And there's a lot of those niches.
Yep.
But and
medical.
Yeah. We see it from the other side as a computer store. People don't know there are alternatives.
Right.
I have to buy Microsoft Office for work. No, you don't. You can use the free software that comes with your Mac. You can use the free Google stuff, you know, the free LibreOffice. Yeah, and no, you don't have to buy. Oh,
but the other
I better buy Microsoft. Okay.
Well, the other thing, though, it's catching on is, you know, Microsoft database used to be the big thing.
Hey, the Jet database.
Yeah, the SQLite is catching on so much more in so many other places that they're saying, oh, to hell with Microsoft because they keep changing this format or changing that and specifications. SQLite is just there. It's rock solid and something you can depend on. And, oh, by the way, it's fast.
It's super fast.
And
that's if you, that's assuming you want to keep your databases on your computer. If you want to put them on a server somewhere, then you've got SQL, SQL Server. Instead of SQL Server, you've got MariaDB.
Yep.
And all of that stuff. So and they're free. There are free alternatives to everything Microsoft
and
offers.
And they're faster.
They're faster. They're cheaper. They do everything you need to do. They do everything about 99% of people need to do. Like we said, there are niche Office products that, you know, add-ons to Office for medical or whatever that do not exist for the other alternatives. But unless you need one of those, so as you alluded to, for 30 years, most of 30 years, I used LibreOffice.
Yep.
And when somebody needed to share a document with me, I saved it. I could read their documents in Office, and I could share my documents in Office format instantly without a problem. Nobody ever knew I wasn't using Microsoft Office. Nobody.
Yeah.
And it was free. And that meant I could put it on my machine at home. I could share my documents with myself. And you can if you want to. And I did this for my wife because she wanted it this way when she was using LibreOffice. I set it up so that the default load and save formats were Microsoft formats.
Yeah.
So that she could
share
documents
with people. Nobody knew anything different.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a meme going around again with Hank Hill from the comedy show. But you have to say it in Hank's voice. No, Microsoft, I do not want to save to OneDrive. I want to save to the documents folder on my computer that I own in my house.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's the other problem. Microsoft is pushing people to OneDrive.
Yep.
They only give you 5 gig, and their document format isn't free.
And then you start getting that ugly notice. Your drive is getting full. You need to buy more space.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll only charge you this much. Yeah, no.
Right. So far, at least, anything you save in Microsoft's own format in Google Drive doesn't count against your quota. So, like I said, I've got 50,000 documents.
Google's format.
Google's format.
Yep.
You said Microsoft.
What?
You said Microsoft.
Did I?
Google's format on Google's Drive is free.
Google's format on Google's Drive is free.
But Microsoft's format on Microsoft's Drive isn't free. Apple's format on Apple's Drive isn't free.
Isn't free. And you only get 5 gigs on each of those systems, and on Google you get 15 gigs. And like I said, I've got 50,000 documents. I've got easily 70,000 photos that's a separate issue. I have a Pixel phone, so I have unlimited photo storage. But for documents, I've got every kind of document you can imagine, and the only ones that are taking up space, I'm using 7 of my 19 gig, and I have 19 gig for other reasons, but 7 of my, call it 15 gig, I don't care, is because there are pictures in my documents, and I've got a couple of very large audio files that I absolutely do not want to lose up there, and those are taking up the majority of the space. And other than that, those 50,000 documents are taking zero space. I don't know how you beat that anymore.
I don't know how you beat it.
I had a lot of those documents are old documents that I've had forever on my computer, moving from machine to machine to machine. And one of the things you can do when you upload them is you can tick a box that says convert to Google's format. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
Now they don't take up any space.
Yep.
I've still got the original in those original formats. My Google has my
converted
backups in their format. Everybody wins.
Yeah, that's why I say, their concept of, inventing the Chromebook, their version of the Chromebook, is just going to be another flash in the pan.
It's their toe in the water. They want to see if people will buy Microsoft in the cloud. That's what this is.
But I don't see it really happening. I'm just not convinced because life is changing. The whole direction of way they're doing stuff, like we said, if you're doing a database program, you're not going to do it in stupid Microsoft Access. You're going to do it in MariaDB, or you're going to do it in SQLite. I mean, two of my other programs that I use, they just did this whole sheet on instructions on how to convert it from the Microsoft Access over to SQLite. The program is freaking unbelievably fast going through, I would say, I've got close to 220,000 contacts in there.
Yeah.
And it just goes boom. And it is super fast in sorting and getting the results that you want.
The Microsoft Jet database is easy to use, but when you get a lot of records, it's dog slow.
Mm-hmm.
It's just dog slow. So when you've got 100,000, 200,000, a million records, SQLite will rip through them.
Oh, it does.
MariaDB, MySQL, they'll just rip through them.
They're just other forms, folks, other than Microsoft.
And you don't. Most people don't know what's at the back end of the website they look at.
Yeah.
Right. So let's look at it from the corporate point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You normally spend, say, $1,000 on a desktop or a laptop.
Easily.
Okay. If it's a laptop, you've got security issues. If it's a desktop, it stays in.
Mm-hmm.
Security is much tighter. We want everything in our back end anyway. So we hire a bunch of people and a bunch of computers in the back end. Oh, wait a minute. I can do it on Microsoft's cloud for cheaper? Yeah, it's going to cost me... First, the Chromebox, what are they calling it?
Windows Link.
Windows Link. The 365 Link is going to be a lot cheaper than a laptop or a desktop. The corporate-sized ones, right? It's going to be... I'm already paying licenses to Microsoft for every one of the products I use. So I'm paying for the 365 license. So what? It's the same price or lower. That's a wash. I don't need my back room anymore. I don't need, for most businesses that don't have super proprietary information, running their own databases and stuff like that, I don't need a back room anymore. I don't have to buy servers. I don't have to pay IT guys. I don't have to do any of that.
And then when something goes wrong, since you don't have IT guys, nothing works.
Well, nothing, but you wait. Call Microsoft.
Yeah.
You're paying for that service. And so for any company that really just has desktops and storage for email and documents, this may actually be a good deal.
The cycle is swinging back again. It used to be everything was done on the mainframe and you had a dumb terminal. And then we started having our own computers and we brought email service and web service in-house. And now we're moving services back to hosting providers. So email and web are almost always hosted outside, never your own company. And now we're going to move our files hosting outside. Next is the OS being hosted outside.
Right.
I'm still not convinced in the fact that, since the pandemic, our whole dynamics of doing business and everything else has changed. So many folks are working from home. And
businesses hate that.
Some do.
Because middle managers can't control their employees. They don't know if they're working or not.
Well, they think they can't control their employees.
Yeah, but a lot of them, though, have also said that, it's working out better because they're, getting... The bottom line, I don't care for any business. If you got employees working at home and they're producing the product that you want, it's getting done on time. Doesn't matter if it's late at night, early in the morning. I don't care. But at the end of the week, if I ask for these results and I want them by then and you're producing them and you're a much happier employee, that's fine with me because as long as I've got what I need by the end of the time or within the time frame, everybody wins. It's a winner-winner chicken dinner.
Exactly. A lot of companies don't believe that.
Yeah. Yep. Well.
And any company that feels the need for higher security...
Control.
...wants to have their employees on desktops.
And you find out you don't need middle managers.
Well, exactly. They want desktops. They want butts in seats. They want desktops, not laptops, because laptops can be taken home or lost, and if they've got proprietary information on them, that's bad. So Microsoft is hitting that market first. And I suspect they've done all the numbers, and they don't care how many they sell. What they care about is they've dipped their toe in the water, and how warm is it?
Yeah.
What they care about.
Last summer, Wells Fargo fired several dozen employees for using mouse jigglers.
Yep.
To make their computer think, to make the monitoring software on their computer think they were working. And then like a couple of weeks later, they got fined millions of dollars for some sort of fraud again.
Right.
So Wells Fargo's getting it from both sides.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I do honestly believe that this is toe in the water and this is where Microsoft wants
this
to go.
This is going to be interesting to see. Like I say, I guess I've been burned too many times by Microsoft.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. And I think that this is not the product they're going to have going forward.
Mm-mm.
But this is toe in the water.
Oh, yeah. I won't disagree with that one bit. And but I would advise everybody out there that is looking at it, look at it very carefully.
Yeah, don't get tricked by
the... Don't just quick jump into it. Oh, yeah, they're going to be there. This is what they've been going for. like we've said before, don't be the Indians with the arrows in your back.
Don't get tricked by the $300 price tag for a Windows PC.
Yeah, that's slow. It's going to be slow.
It's not a real Windows PC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a dumb terminal, as Steve said. Well, what were they calling them? Smart clients? No.
Thin clients.
Thin clients, yes.
It's a thin client.
Because no one wanted to work at a dumb terminal.
Right, exactly. Thin clients were basically, Cisco was pushing these. I had one in my office.
We had a bunch from Wise.
And Wise had some, too. I had one of those as well. And basically, they were just terminals to a back end that had all your stuff. That's exactly what this is. You do not have your data. Microsoft has your data. There are security issues involved in that. And Microsoft's going to have to do a lot of singing and dancing. A lot of heavy tap dancing.
Currently, where I work, that's basically all the terminals that we work at are dumb terminals. It all ties back to the server back in the back office, which then ties up into corporate.
Yep.
So everything is coming from, you know, corporate, literally, and, you know, backing stuff up and everything else.
Now, again, the good news for that is that you no longer have to worry about updates. Right? Mm-hmm. Because when you load the operating system, it will be the newest, latest, greatest.
Yeah.
And they know what hardware you've got because they made the hardware. And so that they can tune the software to run on that hardware. But it's not you. It's not a real computer. You cannot put a different version of Windows on it or Linux or anything else. It's only got 8 gig of RAM.
Some Linux guy will figure it out, though.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that. But it's only got 8 gigs of RAM, and it's only got 64 gig of storage, and it's probably got a low-end processor because the processor doesn't have to do anything. Yeah. Everything's happening in the cloud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's very much like Chromebook.
But like you said, if the cloud goes down,
right.
You know, the internet goes down,
right.
Most businesses are going to be, down.
Right.
Yep.
And
right.
For a place like mine that I work at, that would be devastating.
You better get out the ka-chunk, ka-chunk thing.
Oh, we had it one time. We did literally have an internet failure during some storm or something. And we were they had an emergency service where they had one computer in each department that finally came up, and we were able to do that. Talk about a mess.
Well, now there's a huge lawsuit, Doves, that Delta Airlines is suing the company because it shouldn't have been breached.
Some security system that got breached. Yeah.
And why weren't you doing rollout? So why wasn't it found in the first few minutes, and why didn't everyone? So the company says, they're doing that now, but why weren't they doing it then? And
cost money, that's why.
Yeah.
So Delta's suing them. So, well, that's the whole problem. With making your system secure, I was looking up a list of Microsoft breaches. They're a very large company, very big target for breaches. They average 2-3 breaches a year. They've only had one this year, so they're due.
They're due.
Mm-hmm. But because of that, your data is vulnerable.
Right.
And who knows what's going to be lost next?
Well, but okay, so let me be the devil's advocate here. And my company is very small. I don't have any IT people anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nobody doing that stuff for me anyway.
CloudStrike. Yeah.
So why shouldn't I let Microsoft do it? They've clearly got more people on it than I have.
Hopefully.
Because I have zero.
Hopefully.
Even if they've got one, they're ahead of me.
Yeah, true.
And the machines cost me less.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already paying for internet anyway. And now people are stuck at their desk because these are not laptops.
Yeah. When nothing,
win-win-win for me.
When nothing goes wrong, IT people get yelled at. What are we paying you for?
Right.
When something goes wrong, IT people get yelled at. What are we paying you for?
Exactly. Exactly. I eventually at one point was publishing a newsletter that had all the breaches that we had stopped. All mm-hmm. the spam, then the amount of spam, which was in the millions that we had stopped.
Right?
A day.
Yeah.
And you know, so that people would at least see, you know, this they do something. They do a thing. And this thing is important.
Every Google is up to 2 billion spam messages a day blocked. So when you complain about how much spam got through, just think how much they're blocking.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. It's 29 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415. 0415. Apple has released some, and I quote, urgent updates to patch some actively exploited zero-day vulnerabilities. You should update iPhone, is it XS or XS?
10.
10. iPhone XS and later, iPad Pro 13-inch, iPad Pro 12.9-inch, second generation and later. They added a tenth of an inch and put out a whole new Pro. Okay. iPad Pro 10.5-inch, iPad Pro 11-inch, first generation and later, iPad Air 3rd generation and later, iPad 6th generation and later, iPad Mini 5th generation and later, Macs running Mac OS Sequoia, Macs running Mac OS Ventura and Mac OS Sonoma, and the Apple Vision Pro. But hey, it seems like the watch is okay. But essentially everything else. iCloud backups will be discontinued and deleted for iPhones running iOS 8 or older starting mid-December. Did you hear that? Are you paying attention? If you have an iPhone running iOS 8 or older starting in mid-December, all your iCloud backups will be deleted. You will still be able to manually backup via a Mac or a PC, but not to iCloud. And that's assuming you remember to. iOS 8 is 10 years old now, so this news maybe shouldn't be surprising. But if you have an old iPhone or iPad that just keeps chugging along on older software, it might be time for an upgrade. Also having an impact on older phones is the fact that Apple has run out of headphone adapters for the old Lightning port. Inventory has run out, and it seems unlikely Apple will make more. This is likely part of a general phasing out of products related to the proprietary Lightning port. In iOS and iPadOS 18.2 and later, a user may select an app other than the Messages app to send instant messages. So if you don't like Apple's default messaging app, you can pick whatever you like. Has that not been possible up till now?
No.
Wow. Wow. Move along, citizen. You don't get choice here. Porch pirates appear to be accessing AT&T data to track iPhone delivery, so be careful out there. So are you up to date, and how do you back up? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 800-790-0415.
Apple has a tech note on how to keep your devices backed up if you have an earlier device. The fact that we're on iPhone 16 now.
Right.
So these devices are all at least 6 to 10 years old.
So
but
here's
they're still
the problem.
Being used. We had
Apple
a guy come
has.
In the other day with an iPhone 6
yep.
and wanted a battery. Because well, it's $100 for a battery, it's $400 for a new iPhone.
Well, it's that, and it's the fact that, I'm sorry, but Apple made great products.
They still work.
And they're still running.
Yeah.
So it's Apple's own fault. If they made junk,
yeah.
they'd be okay. But yeah, so yeah, a lot of people are running older devices, but they're just not going to be backed up anymore. You'll have to do your own backup, and we know how many people will come into the shop at some point and say, oh, I meant to back up.
Mm-hmm.
I really meant to back up.
I had someone recently that said, well, do I have to plug the drive in to back up?
Yep.
That magically goes from your computer to the drive. There are wireless backup drives. They're not that common, but
right.
yeah.
Well, if,
yes,
if
you have
I
to
can
plug
back
it in.
Up to the cloud, why can't I back up to this unplugged device?
Yeah.
It's cloud-like.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I get it. But the reality is that Older devices require more care. Older devices can't do a lot of new stuff. And older devices are unsupported in many, many, many ways. So if you're the sort of person who's running a very old device, it wouldn't hurt to check on how you do your own backups. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Andy from, not Gers, Greece, New York. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hi, guys. Quick question. I came across some stuff my son had told me about where it looks like the powers that be want to break up Google.
Yes. Yes. The Justice Department this week wants to have Google divest itself from the Chrome browser and something else, which I can't remember at the moment, but yeah.
It should be the advertising business. They should separate the browser from advertising.
Well, that would be smart, but that's the kind of thing they're talking about doing. And, you know... Go ahead.
Was the something about the database?
They have to share their advertising database point. With competitors.
Right.
Like, I mean, they wanted they couldn't have the Chrome browser be default in the Chromebook anymore, and yeah, it just, the list went on and on.
Yep, there's just a lot of stuff that they're talking about doing. Again, whether or not any of that comes to fruition, it's just talk right now. Which is why I didn't report on it. But this after I just talked about a Microsoft product that doesn't quite exist yet. But yeah, right now it's talk. We'll see what goes forward and how much of it goes forward and what actually happens. But Google is in the spotlight at the very least.
And they're doing similar things in the EU too.
Right. So, yeah, Google's being hit from multiple sides at once. We'll see what happens in the future. What will probably happen is if they have to break it up, they'll spin off a company that they own through shell corporations.
Well, there's Alphabet. So, you know, G for Google and A for advertiser. Or,
right.
Or exactly. M for maps. So they have all these letters they can use.
Right. So, yeah, they'll all still probably be owned by Alphabet rather than by Google directly. So... right now it's a lot of posturing. We'll see where it actually goes.
Yeah, because my son, who's a total Apple user, was giving me a hard time because he knows I stick with the Google and the Chrome and whatnot, and he was saying, "See, it's going to go away. You got to go buy Apple."
Yeah, no.
Well, there's a lot of similar talk about Apple and breaking up the App Store. In Europe now, the EU did rule that Apple has to allow third-party app stores in the App Store and allow side-loading. They've been dragging their heels actually implementing it until the last possible minute. Because we saw what happened in the Google Play Store, but and this is all came from the Epic lawsuit,
yeah, right.
With Fortnite. As soon as Epic put out instructions on how to side-load Fortnite on Android phones, there were dozens of fake links and malicious downloads that people were getting installed because that's the danger. If at least the apps in the Play Store and the Apple App Store are vetted. Occasionally, bad things get through because they're hidden. But it's the free for all, especially people with. Phones only that maybe not read all the tiny screens that come up.
Right.
Can get attacked pretty easily.
Right. I'm always warning people about sideloading. Oh, we can suddenly sideload on this device. You don't want to do that. Because 80%, at a minimum 80%, and it's probably more like 95% of the stuff you download is malicious.
This is nothing new. Remember back in the LimeWire days?
Oh, yes.
People would download a song and it wouldn't play.
BearShare. Well,
something happened. You probably downloaded a tracker, so now the RIAA can track you down and send you a... what was her name? Grandma Johnson? The lawsuit for downloading a song. They settled for 20 songs instead of the 10,000 that... LimeWire shares everything you have.
Right. So, yeah, there's a this is nothing new, and we'll see where it goes. Okie doke?
Okay. Yeah, well, it was a concern.
Right.
My stuff is running Android and Chrome, and that's the default browser I use.
Right. Well, right now it doesn't look like anything's actually going away, so I don't think we have to really worry. And there's always, look, you can always load Chromium, which is essentially the Google browser without any of its branding.
Googleness.
Right, without the Googleness. But you can make it look exactly like Google, and you can make it do all the same exact things Google does. There's also Brave and the one with a V. What's that one?
Vivaldi.
There's and others that are all based on Chromium and essentially do all the same things that the Chrome browser does. Edge is based on Chromium.
Now.
Yeah, I thought that was.
Yeah, so, you know, everything is based on the only, there's only really three browsers out there. There's the Chromium browser and all of its kin. There's the Firefox browser, and there's Safari. That's it. Three browsers. Everything else, there's two browsers and all of the Chromium clones. So
yeah, I guess one of the things that concern me is I have no doubt that a government agent trying to be quote unquote helpful will screw everything up and mess everything up massively. But if you look at, I mean, how many people are running Gmail accounts? How many people come at Google Drive to store up to 15 gigs worth of stuff and over it because you're using Google Format, so it's free.
Right.
You bust up the company, and all of a sudden, free stuff's going to disappear.
We'll see. Yeah, it's a legitimate concern, but I don't think it's going to be that bad. I've been wrong before, but I don't think so in this case.
Well, one of the articles I read said that the Justice Department's asking for all this stuff, but when they had the same thing settled successfully with another company, it was far less than this, and what they're asking for this time is very draconian, and it will probably be negotiated down to something that was done previously, because otherwise it's singling Google out for undue punishment or something.
Right, exactly right. So we'll see what ends up happening, and
okay, and
we'll see where it goes. And also, let's not forget, the incoming administration is very business friendly.
So everything may fall.
Unless the head of the company is giving him a hard time, and then he's vindictive.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
Are we on for tomorrow night?
Yes, we are on for tomorrow night. Everybody, the lounge, as I said a couple of weeks ago, the lounge is back. We're back, baby. So all you lounge lizards can show up tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can go over to soundbites.org/lounge, and at 9 p.m. tomorrow night, the link will appear. If you refresh your screen, the link will appear, and you can join us in the lounge. It is a video chat area, but you do not have to turn on your camera or your microphone. That is entirely up to you. We will take your questions, your comments, your suggestions, and whatever other stuff you want to talk about. All the way from brilliant down to the stuff I talk about. So we'll be seeing you at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Thanks, Andy.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye-bye. Yep. Bye-bye. So, yeah. And, yes, they do want to break up Google, but honestly, I don't see it being as bad as the fearmongers are making it out to be.
And for the end user, not much may happen. Just the program you're using is owned by a different company.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who owns our companies anyway.
Yeah.
What will confuse you is if it ends up with a different logo.
Yeah.
But currently, very few of Google's logos are Google branded in the sense that they have a G on them in some way. So, for example, Gmail is an M.
Yeah.
Google Chrome is a little Simon game. So you're not... You know, if they change it, they don't have to even change the logo.
Hopefully, well, they won't do it as bad as Kaspersky ended up happening. Department of Justice is basically banned Kaspersky in the U.S. because it just happens to be a Russian company. And so what Kaspersky ended up doing is making a partner with another AV company. Overnight, your computer uninstalled Kaspersky and installed Ultra AV.
Right.
They sent an email a couple of months ago saying this was going to happen.
Nobody read it,
and if you did read it, you forgot. And so there were stories about people who woke up in the morning and saw this Ultra AV thing and thought they were being attacked by a virus.
Right.
When it was someone else's antivirus because they didn't warn people enough.
Right, and that's the problem. You have to send out 5 warnings easy before people will. I used to do that all the time at work. We're gonna take the servers down at 2 a.m., These are teachers. They're not working at 2 a.m.
Just like selective hearing, they have selective reading.
Invariably, somebody would come to me and say, I was trying to log on at 4 o'clock in the morning, and what happened? Well, the 7 messages.
Gee, maybe you should have been still sleeping.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and it's rough when the email server goes down because you can't send out an email. So I read stories about tech people who get angry calls. The email's not working. Yes, I know. We're trying to fix it. Well, how long is it going to take? Longer and longer if you keep me on the phone.
Back in the day when I was working in IT for the entire university, our mail server went down. And normally, we answer the phone and say, thanks for calling Information Technology. This is Nick. How may I help you? And then we'd get this long screed before we could get in and say, So I started answering the phone. Yes, the mail server's down. Yes, we know. No, we don't know how long it's going to take. Anything else? No, that's it. Thank you. Bye.
How many people still said, well, the mail server's down. You got to fix it.
But so I was taking like 5 times as many calls as anybody else. When people get angry, look, one of the things that I used to do is I had systems in place that warned me with everything that was happening on my servers. So if a server went down, I knew it. I had that set up on the mail server, but I didn't need it. Because the minute a mail server went down, my phone started to ring.
You had other warning.
Exactly.
Places.
But I already knew, so yeah, we were on it. I'm happy to say that my mail server rarely went down in 20 years.
It's a proud thing to be once.
Didn't you say the uptime counter wrapped around?
Yeah, the uptime counter wrapped around, and the guy I had running it was so angry because it's only a 32-bit number. It was only a 16-bit number, and it wrapped around.
It ran for 16 billion seconds.
Yeah, exactly. he was really angry about it, and I didn't know what to tell him.
It is what it is.
Here's your chance to reboot just once in your life, even if you don't have to. So, yeah.
You should anyways.
Yeah, the ability to work from home was a godsend for me because it meant that I didn't have to sit in the server room at 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I could do what I needed to do from home.
Yeah. Although, in the early days, it quickly felt like living at work. But if for people that were lucky enough to have a separate room, you could set up as an office rather than the guest bedroom or even your own bedroom with a table. We see that a lot on video calls with the bed in the background because that's the only extra room you had.
Well, right. For me, it was great because we could just go downstairs because the basement was the business, and we had a number of clients that we did stuff in the evenings. After everyone went home, we went logged into their systems and we were doing the backups.
I remember the first time we had work from home stuff. I had bullied my boss. I mean, and I did. God bless you, Pat. I bullied my boss into letting us do this to set up the ability to work from home. And one morning, I'm driving into work and I get a phone call. There's a problem with the server. We can't log in. I pulled into a parking lot, fixed it from my phone, and then called her back on the road. She said, "You're in your car." I said, "Yeah." "How did you fix this?" "You let me work remotely, and I pulled into a parking lot and fixed it. She said, I'm very smart. I said, yes, you are. Yes, you are, Pat.
Well, I had one client at first when we were starting to do, you know, the logging into the system.
Yeah.
Insisted. No, we got to come on site. He wanted us on site. I said, okay, no problem. We'll be there. You know, it was like 8 o'clock. And you'll let us in, right? What, you mean I got to come in? Yeah. You've got to unlock the doors and let us in. Well, I could just give you a key. I don't want that responsibility.
Yeah. Right.
You want to, this is your office. I'm not going to be responsible for anything missing or anything happening. So you will be there while we're doing it. Oh, that's kind of inconvenient.
It's like my shirt today. You know, before you bother me, check. Right. Is it plugged in? Is it turned on? Are you sure? Go check.
Right.
People ask why IT people are so surly. It's because I just drove 3 hours to flip a switch that three separate people told me was already flipped.
Yeah. So it only took one time for him to have to come in. And then after that, it's, well, you can do this successfully from home. Yes, we can do it remotely, and it'll all be backed up, and you don't have to worry about it. Okay, well, that makes more sense.
You're going to pay an emergency fee. You're going to pay a travel fee. You're going to pay, you're going to pay an after-hours fee.
Yeah. Years ago, we had these IBM printers that were just finicky devices. And I had a guy who called me up, and I had to truck on over to his building and go to his office and look at his printer. And all I did was push down the it wasn't an ink cartridge, it was a ribbon cartridge. Because this was an IBM Selectric
type. Oh, yeah, yep.
I pushed down the ribbon cartridge so that it was locked in.
Lock it into its carriage.
And I had asked him four times.
Yep.
He insisted it was right. And I looked at him and said, I am ignoring your next four calls. He just looked at me and said, that's fair.
Well,
that's fair.
I heard one story that was pretty good. Instead of asking, is it plugged in, tell them to unplug it and then plug it back in again. Because it might just be loose. And then, oh, yeah, look at it. It looks plugged in. So then later on, someone's carrying a printer cord and trying to shake the data out of it. Because the last IT person said, unplug it, shake it out, and plug it back in. Maybe something's jammed up.
Nice.
So I'm shaking the cable. Why won't it work?
Nice. We had one server that kept going off at 2 o'clock every morning. It would turn off. And then it would reboot like an hour later. We could not figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely could not figure it out. So I stayed there overnight watching the computer. At 2 o'clock in the morning, the cleaning service came in, unplugged the computer so they could vacuum, and when they were done, plugged it back in again.
Jeez Louise.
Holy moly.
Well, that was your fault that the plug was accessible.
It was in a locked closet that nobody else was supposed to have a key to.
And what the hell are they vacuuming a closet for?
Well, exactly. Well, it was one of the long ones.
Yeah.
And that was the... Well, they knew they weren't supposed to unplug any of the computers. Because this was back in the day, this is how old it was. It was the secretarial pool. So they knew they weren't allowed to unplug any of the computers, and the only other plug was in the janitor's closet.
Well, a lot of the places I know where we worked would sit there and put like a clamp on the plug and then screw it into the socket.
Or a sign that says, do not unplug.
So you couldn't unplug it. You actually had to go to the back of the machine and unplug it.
We didn't think it was necessary in a room that was locked.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. We ran into more goofy stuff. You know, when you run an IT business or a repair business, nothing, after a while, you know, 30-some-odd years, it got to be, you know, where I had condom wrappers and stuffed in floppy disk drives, you know, rodents and machines and everything else.
I didn't want to catch a virus, so I put a condom on my floppy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So, you know,
I didn't think that through before I said that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll never forget, I had that on my countertop. There was a little like clear case, and it was all the dust and bugs.
Oh, I remember that.
That we cleaned out of one machine. And that was only part of it. And there was all kinds of bugs and everything else in there. And they go, oh, where'd that come from? Somebody's machine that didn't clean it out once in a while. Really? Yep.
We had a TTY, a box that we opened it up. It was not working. It had a mouse nest in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they can get into some small little places.
Yep.
Read a story where woman brings in a computer and said, "My son said this has got roaches in it," and so they, you know, they, well, we don't want to in that, so they take it outside, open it up. It looks perfectly fine. And so later on, they call the son and said, "Oh yeah, I'll be right down. I don't tell my mom I'm on acid."
Oh, jeez.
All righty. On that note, we're just going to give up for the first hour. But don't go away. There's a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming your way. A whole nother hour of Dave Enright. A whole nother hour of Steve Ray. And a whole other hour of me, Nick Francesco. And, of course, a whole nother hour of all of you. So give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. And we will be happy to take your computer questions. And we will be happy to answer anything you've got to talk about. We'll give you some more news. We'll do all kinds of interesting things. But you have to make that call. And we'll talk to you. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go too far, will you?
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We had a question in the comments. We had a call, rather, that...
The RSS feed.
Yeah, it talked about the RSS feed. Thank you very much. And you are...
I'm Steve Ray.
Still.
We had a question about the RSS feeds. And, yeah, what's happened is as the what happens is the newest shows come up on top.
Mm-hmm.
I uploaded a bunch of tapes that Don's wife gave to us when he passed. And they're all from the 90s.
January 28th, 2090.
Well, I did not anticipate that we would get shows older than the 2000s because I wrote the code long after that.
It's a reverse Y2K error.
It's a reverse Y2K error.
Yeah.
The link is correct, but the top shows currently are from 1998 or whatever years on top. And as soon as Steve uploads the newest ones, they should go to the top. And if they don't, I'll screw around with the code again.
So you did that
they're
since,
still all there, though.
You did it since last Sunday, which pushed last Saturday's down.
Right, exactly, exactly. So the theory is when Steve puts the newest ones in, they rise to the top. And like I said, if they don't, I will rewrite the code yet again to fix that. But that's the story right now.
Now, it looks like... At least in my podcast app, it only shows the last 10. I don't know if is that an XML setting or is that just my app?
That's your app.
Okay.
because I could list.
So, the latest episodes of the show is the last 10. I bet if I go to all episodes, I'll see them all.
Right. So that's where that stands. And that's why you're seeing old episodes right now. If you're still seeing them next week after Steve uploads the current day's thing, then I'll have to go play with the RSS feed again.
We've got 4.8 out of 5 stars.
Nice.
On Apple Podcasts.
That's very nice. That's very sweet. Thank you, everyone.
It's like we have a 1-star review and a 2-star review. But it won't let me see them. I probably have to log in as the owner.
Right. Well.
There's always one.
Right. So we've had our Apple news. Now let's have some
Microsoft.
Some Microsoft news. You may already be seeing full screen ads on your Windows 10 computer. For months now, Microsoft has been running a campaign which shows full screen warnings that Windows 10 will shortly be dropping out of support. So how about that upgrade to Windows 11? Well, that's not enough for Microsoft, so now they're widening the campaign to urge Windows 10 users to actually purchase a brand new Windows 11 PC. Microsoft has been making it clear that the plug will be pulled on Windows 11 on October 14th, 2025, but that doesn't seem to be moving many people off the old OS. So Microsoft decided the best way to keep the hearts and minds of its users is to annoy them with full-screen pop-ups. Of course, for many people, upgrading to Windows 11 will require a whole new computer, which may explain some of the reluctance. That's that piece of information.
And just being different is enough to be annoying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
Things are in a different place, so it's a terrible operating system. Pwn to Own, a regular event that pays people to hack into various devices and then tell them how they did it, clearly isn't enough for Microsoft, so they're creating their own event called Zero Day Quest, which it says will be the largest of its kind. The event will build upon Microsoft's existing bug bounty program and incentivize research into high-impact security flaws that can affect the software powering cloud and AI workloads. And it may work, since the award pool seems to be set at $4 million. Remember the update back in July that rendered hundreds of thousands of Windows devices unbootable, impacting airlines, hospitals, and emergency services worldwide? Well, that woke Microsoft up. And they've announced they're working on a tool for system administrators that will allow IT administrators to use Windows Update targeted fixes, to remotely fix systems rendered unbootable. That's no help for the average home user, but really welcome for organizations, which is all that Microsoft really cares about. So are you ready to replace your beloved Windows 10 computer with a soulless Windows 11? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 800-790-0415.
And that's why that one box that I had, I have it, that gave me the thing. Oh, sorry, this doesn't meet the specifications for Windows 11. Okay, Linux. Solve that problem.
And if you were still running Windows 10, what you'd be getting now are full-screen ads that essentially say, your computer is junk, buy a new computer so you can run Windows 11. I mean, they're saying it a little more politely, but that's what they're saying. So it used to be, why aren't you upgrading to Windows 11, you idiot? Now it's, your computer is junk, buy a new one so you can run Windows 11. Those are the two ads that they're running right now.
And I'd like to turn around to them and say, and when are you going to give me the money to do so?
Right, not loan it, give it to me. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, and that's part of, so the industry in general, we are in perilous economic times, as we always say, but they're not as bad as we think they are, but people think they're bad, and that makes them bad. So they're not buying new computers. They're retaining old stuff in order to keep it and working hard to keep it running. That incurs its own set of costs, including people. It's a catch-22 sort of thing. Yeah. Now, yes, if you were running Linux, you'd be better off because you're not paying for the operating system or any of the software you're using. Most of the software you're using, but you still got, now you've got to have people who know how to run Linux. You can run Chromebooks, and that takes a huge piece of the deal off of you, and you might need one, maybe two. Tech people to manage all of that, But now you've got to teach everybody how to use Chromebooks, which they don't know how to use. So that incurs a cost. So there's no, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch.
But the thing of it is, though, and from the homeowner, you know, from the actual home family that's, you know, got a PC in their home and that, and they're using it to do their day-to-day stuff, there is no big compelling reason to go from Windows 10 to Windows 11, because anything and everything that 10 needs to do, it's doing it, and it's doing it fine, thank you.
Right.
And until that thing dies and it won't turn on like a light bulb, are they going to be compelled to go outside and get another GD computer?
Right, right.
Because of the cost. But and they could spend money on other things that are essential to the house.
Right. The problem with that is, from Microsoft's point of view, the problem with that is that they don't make money and they have more stuff to do. So if they can stop supporting Windows 10, they save a lot of money. If they can get you to buy Windows 11, they make a lot of money. Win-win for them.
And the biggest differences between Windows 10 and 11 are the interface.
That's really it.
Everything looks different.
Well, that's the biggest reason not to upgrade. Right.
Yeah. Windows 8, the same way. Everything looked different. Windows 8 was designed for a touchscreen. 8.1, they fixed that.
Right.
Not everyone has a touchscreen. But yeah, most of the changes of Windows 11, the start menu is now in the center of the screen, of the bottom taskbar instead of on the left. And that's enough to throw everyone off. So the biggest resistance is resistance to change.
Right.
And so if they made Windows 11 look exactly like Windows 10, people wouldn't mind too much.
Right.
But then you've got the old hardware issue.
Right. So there's a couple of issues that people have to deal with. But the reality is that there just isn't as much difference. It's really just the visuals. We've been saying this for decades. It's like buying a new car. You still know how to drive. It's not like what happened, you know, in the days when they decided, oh, everybody's going to switch over to driving on the other side of the road tomorrow.
I saw a picture of Sweden when they did that.
Yes.
And no one could drive. No one couldn't get anywhere.
In our case, it is simply and strictly the pictures.
Yep.
And where things are in the menus. You buy a new car, you don't know where the radio is, you don't know, you know, where the this and that are. You find out in a couple of days and it's like you never didn't know. So it's the same way with buying a new computer, but we don't like change. We just don't like it. So it's an issue, and we're not entirely sure how to deal with it in terms of that. And the problem has always been people. You know, it's the wetware. It's not the hardware. It's not the software. It's the wetware.
The problem is people. You got a pen?
Yeah, write that down. As my daughter always says, people are the worst.
Yeah.
I used to have faculty who would say, this place would be great if it wasn't for the students. And my thought was, and the faculty.
Yeah.
I guess it's all just a matter of perspective.
Yeah. Looks like right now the problem is the phone system.
Yeah. For those of you who are trying to call in, Dave's having some...
It's not transferring.
Okay, it's not transferring. The phone system seems to be recalcitrant at the moment. He's working on it hard. And by hard, I mean he's swearing and jumping up and down and throwing things.
He turned it off and back on again.
Have you tried turning it off and back on again?
Yeah.
But yeah, so... That's the deal with Microsoft, and like we said, it sounds like a dumb problem, right? I mean, it's just pictures, but people are people, and they don't like change. It's very difficult to wrap your brain around a new thing when you've been doing it a different way for 10 years, right? So. Yeah, and I see that's one of the issues with Linux. You know, there are 50 different front ends you can use, GUIs, graphical user interfaces, that you can install. 50, there's like 200 that you can install. each one's just a little bit different. What happens is people just stick with whichever is the first one they ever installed.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they're stupid, but because we're resistant to change. And so with Windows, it's worse. So we'll see what happens. Oh, we got Roger. Is it Roger? Roger, yeah. From Greece. Hi, Roger. What's up?
I've got a PC that has got a few years on it, and I'm thinking about replacing it. So I was calling just to ask what your recommendation would be as far as capacity, speed, etc. What I do is basically just surf the web. I do email. I do Microsoft, Windows programs.
You just added a zero. Yeah.
Do you play games?
I do not.
Okay. You just lost a zero. Okay. So if everything you do... Okay, so let's go from the least to most expensive options. Yeah? At the very low end is a Chromebook.
Okay.
A Chromebook will let you do... assuming you do your email through the browser, you can do your...
I have Earthlink, and I have, what do you call it? The browser is just Mozilla?
Sure, Firefox.
Firefox, yeah.
Right, so a Chromebook, you would be using the Chrome browser, but it's the same thing. So you could do your mail through the Chrome browser. You could transition over to Google Docs to do your word processing and your spreadsheets and all of that stuff. And it would cost very little money, and that's at the low end. The next step up is a low-end Windows machine. I'm not even going to talk about that much because there's nothing there but frustration.
No, dear.
Well, that's simply a fact. You know, when you buy a very low-end machine with an operating system that was designed for high-end hardware, you start measuring your response time with a calendar.
Yeah, not enough processor, not enough RAM, not enough storage.
Right.
And but so, it's cheap.
And it's cheap, but everything is super slow.
Okay.
And then the next step up is a mid-level machine where you will have some slowdown, but you'll be able to work without a problem. And that's, you're looking at least 8 gig of RAM and, however much, I mean, it's hard to find a drive that's less than a terabyte these days. So, 1 terabyte drive probably will suit you, depending on how much stuff you already have in documents. Then at the higher end, you're looking at a faster processor and more RAM and more storage, but... What you'll really gain from that is response time. The machine will respond faster.
Now, are you looking at a desktop or a laptop?
Desktop.
Okay. A lot of people like to buy laptops because they can move them around and then never move them around.
Right.
You can get a better desktop for the price of a lower-end laptop because you don't need the portability.
Right.
Okay.
You add several hundred dollars just to be able to move it around. So a desktop, if you're getting a desktop, there's lots of good brands out there. I'm partial to Dell.
We're coming up on Black Friday. We just finished pre-Black Friday season.
Right.
And we're getting ready to start Black Friday season.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So now's a good time to buy. And particularly when we don't know what's happening with tariffs coming the new year. This might be a great time to buy.
Yeah. Buy now, yeah.
The big thing with PCs is the number of cores in the processor.
Right.
So at the very low end, you get a 4-core i3, and you'll be struggling. You know, mid-range is like a 6-core or 10-core i5, and high-end is a 20-core i7. So it's
right.
in that.
It's not just cores, it's threads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you can have 2 cores and 2 threads, which means you can do 4 things at once.
Yep.
4 cores and 8 threads, which means you can do 32 things at once.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what to look at. I would say personally, something with at least an i5 At least 8 gig of RAM and 16 would be better. At least a terabyte drive.
And its own video card.
And a good video card.
Yeah, because you don't want to use the onboard video because then that takes from the memory that's on the machine.
Right.
So if you
you've got 16 gig or 32 gig, then you can do that.
And if you're not playing games, then onboard video is usually okay.
Right.
But again, a dedicated video card would be faster.
Would be better. And really, the two things that you have to pay most attention to are your monitor and your keyboard. And to a lesser extent, your mouse. Because those are the ways that you actually interact with the machine. You know, I have poor eyes, but one of the things that has most helped me is I have a very high-quality monitor. I spent more money on my monitor than anything else. I don't have headaches anymore. I don't have, you know, my vision is good.
ViewSonic makes a real good quality monitor for a relatively inexpensive price. You know, and I'm talking, 27 inches.
Yeah, and so with monitors, you want to look at the refresh rate. 120 hertz is kind of minimum these days. And most people go for a 2K monitor, if not 4K.
Right.
Because you get that higher quality out of it. But the neat thing about, you know, desktops and monitors is one wears out, you replace that one, and then the other wears out, you replace that one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the next thing is the keyboard.
Yeah.
I have carpal tunnel, so I like what's called the natural keyboard. It's got a hump in the middle, and it means that your hands, instead of laying flat like this, are curved a little bit while you type, and that helps with the carpal tunnel. So you can, you know, you can spend $15 on a keyboard, or you can spend $115 on a keyboard, and it depends on what you like and what you, you know. They also now are back to selling mechanical keyboards.
I got a big clackety keyboard, and I take notes during phone calls, and sometimes I clack too loud, and I've had people get mad at me. Well, if you got something else to do, no, ma'am, I'm just taking notes.
right. But yeah, so anything in that mid-range or higher will suit you for years.
And pretty much most anything you buy today is going to come with Windows 11, so you're set on that range.
Right.
Unless you want to go down
until Windows 12.
Yeah. Unless you want to go down
to Linux. Did you mention or did you not mention that, like, Dell is a good line? The monitor I have now is a Dell, about a 16 or 18 inch.
If you're happy with it, good for you.
Yeah.
One of the things we like to recommend is try going to a local computer store. Not necessarily the big box stores, but an actual computer store. We have a sponsor. I can't remember the name of it. I'm sorry.
But during
the next break, we'll see it. But you can form a relationship with a local computer store. They can custom build a PC, oftentimes less expensive than a name brand. But the problem there is then your drivers come from all the different places and not from one company. So there's pluses and minuses of that. But you have a face to look at. You have someone to call if there's a problem. You don't have to ship your computer off somewhere if you need to get something fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So we always recommend buy local.
Yeah.
It keeps your money in the community.
Okay. All right, good. All right, well, thank you very much. I appreciate your help here.
All right, thanks. Let us know what you got.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too, Roger. Thanks. Yeah, as I said, we always prefer to suggest that you buy local when you can. Again, because it keeps our money in the community and it supports small businesses. And that's never a bad thing. Never a bad thing at all. So get yourself going with that. Dave's working diligently to get the next person in the phone call, so give us a second. Please be patient. We've had a small amount of trouble with the phones today, but we're working on it.
So we waited so long.
Dave is learning new words.
No, I'm still trying to figure this out.
All righty. So we're ready to go?
I have no idea what city this is.
Williamton.
Williamton?
believe that's what he said.
Okay, it's Will from somewhere in Virginia. Hampton. Where in Virginia, Will?
Will in Hampton, Virginia.
Hampton. Okay. Will. Okay. How are you?
That's okay. That's okay. It's all good.
It's all good. What's up?
Not to your heart. The people that I find that I'm afraid for are your small business owners, people who have less than 50 people in their employ, and they may be using a peer-to-peer network.
Custom software that doesn't work on Windows 11?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a
Yeah,
that's a
I completely
fear.
Agree, Will, because we can talk about the big corporations, and they have people, right? They have whole buildings full of people who are the IT people who can do what has to be done. Then you talk about the individual user who will just get a PC and be happy. But in the middle are a number of small businesses, and you're right, 20 people, 50 people, 100 people, who don't have IT people. You know, they essentially look around the room and say, who's not busy? You're the IT person. And don't have the expertise and maybe using something proprietary. What do they do? I completely agree, Will.
That's why I'm a big Linux evangelist. I try to be, but I don't know who's hearing me out there.
Well, yeah, more and more people as time goes on. Linux is becoming more and more popular.
Is it the year of Linux again?
It's the year of Linux. Yeah. Very exciting. Now, certain small business places will be very well served by Windows 365 Link because they do vanilla things. And so they get a $350 computer. Everything happens in the cloud. They're very happy. But if you do anything that's even vaguely off the beaten path, you're right, Will, those companies are going to be in trouble trying to shoehorn their business into Windows 365 Link. You're absolutely
right. I'm pretty
sure
there are a lot of those.
And there are a lot of those. Mm-hmm. All it takes is one small deviation from the norm, and they're messed up. I agree with you 100%. Well thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, we tend to think about the homeowner and the big businesses. There's a huge gap in between there that are filled with small businesses of every size. All right. Are you done or you want to hang on?
Good talk. I'm done.
All right. Thanks, Will. Have fun down there in Hampton, Virginia. We're going to take a quick break. And that Hampton, Virginia was for Dave, not for Will. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in a few.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Mark from Greece, New York, on the line. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Nick. You're looking good with that new trim.
Thank you. I had my neck lengthened. Thank you.
You're welcome. I called a few months ago, and I told you I was having long boot times, and we determined that it was the USB external drives that were plugged into the computer.
Yep.
And rather than having to unplug them and plug them back in all the time, I found a solution. I went into the BIOS, and I turned off boot from USB. So it doesn't look for the USB drives anymore, and I cut that boot time like in half.
Nice.
Nice.
So that seemed to do the trick.
Very nice.
Just wanted to let you know I did find a solution to it, finally.
What was the boot order? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Well, the boot order was, it was...
If it was USB first, then it would always
look
for
USB. Yeah,
you
can switch it around.
Yeah, no, it wasn't USB first, but it was still trying to find those drives as they would come up.
Wow.
You would hear the drive start to
weird,
turn on.
Yeah.
It would still try to find those, and it would, it would hang a good, 40 seconds before I would get any kind of boot screen.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah,
and now it's like like 10 seconds, and actually it's quite a bit of an improvement than it was before.
Yeah.
And I had the USB turned on, but I had it low in the boot order because it looked for the C drive first, and then it looked for the external DVD drive.
Interesting.
And that didn't cause any problems. But, yeah, once I turned it off fully, it boots fairly quick now.
Very nice. Well, you're always going to have some boot.
Yeah, it's some delay.
Sometime, but
right.
Yeah, well done, Mark. Well done.
So, if anybody else has that problem, they might want to try and do that. And then when you need to boot from USB, then
turn it back on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Excellent, Mark. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks.
And some of that is how often do you reboot your machine?
Right. Well, also
when you want to,
many BIOSes have a key you can hit that brings up a boot menu.
Yep.
So on a Dell, for example, it's F12. So I can tap F12 and it'll come up and say, "Well, what do you want to boot from?" And it'll show me all the bootable devices.
Yeah.
And that's the only time it goes and looks.
Yeah. Apple. Wow. The bloggers are yelling at Apple because on the new Mac Mini, the power button's on the bottom.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And so most of the answers are, well, how often do you need to push the power button?
Well, exactly.
You turn it off, you restart from the Apple menu.
This isn't nearly as bad as where they plugged in the mouse, Super Mouse or Mighty Mouse.
And it's been that way for a decade where you charge the mouse from the bottom and you can't use the mouse while it's charging. Somebody worked out a rig so that they plugged in the charger, but the mouse, the sensor, would still sense? No, Apple turns the sensor off when it's charging.
Stinking Apple.
Their answer is that 5 minutes of charging gives you an hour of use, so plug it in and go refill your drink and then come back.
Thank you, Apple, for running my life for me. I appreciate that.
So they don't have the cord where the charging port where the cord used to go.
I actually have one of those mice. It just sits in a corner. I'm not going to bother with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to bother with it. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Don from Pittsford, New York. What's up, Don?
Hello. A few moments ago, you were talking about various processors, Intel processors,
right.
i3, 5, and 7. I'm looking at a couple of desktops, perhaps, to buy, and they have AMD Ryzen processors.
Mm-hmm.
How do those compare, and how does one determine, or do you feel that one is superior to the other?
AMD Ryzen is an excellent processor.
They're actually a little bit faster.
They're a little bit better in general, depending on the... Okay, so they both Intel and AMD have worked very hard to make it almost impossible to compare apples and oranges in their processors. They've made it very, very hard to do that. And Ryzen doesn't help. At least with Intel, you have i3, i5, i7. With Ryzen, it's like the J47 3 left elbow.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, it's harder to tell. But in general, an equivalent mid-level price. You can essentially compare them by price. You will find that in almost every case, for the average user, the AMD Ryzen is a better processor.
Yeah. So what it does is, they could be equivalent, as far as, the way they advertise it, say a 5 versus a 5, whereas AMD would sit, their biggest thing that they tout, sure, it's, labeled as the same speed, but they add more cycles within a process that makes the chip faster. So instead of doing, say, 60 tasks in a nanosecond, they're doing 75. So, but it's the same chip, but they're doing it faster by milliseconds to make it faster, but the chip is still the same speed. Does that make sense?
Okay. I posted a link from Tom's Hardware, trying to compare them.
It's
hard. What a lot of people are saying is that if you're going for the best gaming PC, then you want the AMD Ryzen.
Yeah, because it'll do more tasks per millisecond.
Well, in addition, they also are better at multitasking.
Yep.
Intel is actually better at single-threaded tasks, things like content creation, where you spend an hour doing one thing.
Yep.
Right? Whereas AMD processors are better at multi-threading. So if you're the sort of person who jumps from task to task and thing to thing, and you're using a decent multi-threaded operating system, which they all are today, you'll find that an AMD may be a little faster for you.
Okay, well, you mentioned it's very difficult to compare the two. However, I'm looking at a reference on the computer, and it lists AMD Ryzen 7 and AMD Ryzen 9. Is it possible to compare either of those two and Intel 5 or i7?
First thing, what are you going to do with it? That's always usually my biggest question, because there's no sense of selling you a Cadillac when a mid-sized car is going to do you.
Yeah. I'm a photographer, and I'm pretty heavy into Photoshop, and have to process...
You just raised the bar a little bit higher.
High-resolution RAW files is what I generally shoot in with high-end cameras, and so I'm looking for that. Outside of that, it's simply mundane email.
Yeah, but just you saying doing photography, what I would suggest when you're doing your focus is at least, 16 gig of memory. 32 would be even better. Minimum a terabyte, maybe 2 terabyte drive for you, because if you're storing photos, you want that extra capacity to store there. And where you want to also put your money is a better graphics card. You definitely want to have it not an onboard graphics. You want to get yourself a NVIDIA high-end graphics or one of the other leading ones, depending on your preference. But definitely a better graphics card.
But I don't believe there's any direct comparison between the Ryzen 5 and the Intel 5, they're the number 5.
Right. Yeah. The real issue is that i3, i5, i7, i9 are generations of the Intel processor.
Yep.
Similarly, the r5, the r7, etc.
They're the names.
So it depends on when they started. There's also the fact that an old i5 from, 10 years ago is slower than an i3 is today. The new generation of i3.
Yep.
So you cannot make a direct comparison, even
inside Intel.
It's
not apples to apples.
Even inside one or the other. So you really have to look at a bunch of charts and say, okay, this one is faster at multitasking. This one is faster at single tasking. You look at the benchmarks, and one of the benchmark products, programs, will be Photoshop.
Yep.
So you can look at it and say, this one does Photoshop better than that one.
Yep.
Okay, you were also discussing cores and threads, the number of cores and threads.
Can
you explain a little bit more about that and what I should look for, but mainly what's the difference when you're talking about cores and threads?
Sure. A core is essentially a CPU.
Well, like the cylinder on an engine is the analogy I like.
Yeah, well, that's good.
So, yeah, but basically it used to be like you had an Intel 8080 chip. That's a core. In certain i3 chips, you get 2 cores. So it's like having 2 processors inside the 1 processor.
2 cylinders in the engine.
Two cylinders in your engine. And i7 might have 8 cores, so you've got an 8-cylinder engine. It can do 8 things at once without having anything wait ever. It's essentially queues. It's doors to a building. In a 2-core system, 2 people can walk in at the same time. The third person has to wait. In an 8-door building or a processor with 8 cores, 8 people can enter the building. 8 things can be done at once. Nobody waits until there are 9 things you're trying to do at once. Now, a thread.
What about threads?
Yeah, a thread is the number of processes each core can handle.
2-stroke engine versus 4-stroke engine.
Right. So what we're really looking at is those doors. If you have a 4-thread door, 4 people can go through that door.
It's a wider door.
So if you have four, if you have eight, four core, if you have eight, hello, hi, how are you? If you have four core processor with two threads per processor, you have eight threads. That means eight things can be done in any multi-threading operating system, which Linux and Mac OS are, and Microsoft kind of is. So if you have an eight core processor with four threads per core, you have 32 things that can be done at once.
Okay, I'm getting back to my specific needs, and I appreciate what you're saying very much. Is I have a desktop that's been locally built and custom for me by MicroWorks, and I'm in need of upgrading it. And so I'm wondering what to suggest or talk to them in terms of cores and threads. Certainly 16 meg of memory. And the computer, I use two hard drives in it, one for the operating system and then a larger one for photo storage and so forth.
Very good.
With backup, which I rarely remember, unfortunately, to do. But anyway.
Go ahead.
With that in mind, what processor do you suggest that I use for that configuration with heavy Photoshop use?
Okay, now, Photoshop, let me back up. Photoshop is a multi-threaded system, but you have to turn on multi-threading. So you go into Preferences, Performance, and you select multi-threaded compositing. It will then use multiple threads per core. So in your case, you want something with the more threads, the better. So you want to look for a processor with eight threads. Whether that's a Ryzen or an Intel, again, I would say that the Ryzen processors are a little faster.
Yep.
But what, you know, a Ryzen processor with two threads versus an Intel processor with four threads, I'd go with the Intel processor because if you're using Photoshop most of the day and you've turned on multi-threading, that's going to give you a boost.
And I'm finding a lot of articles specifically for Photoshop that push it toward the Ryzen processor.
Right, but and that was my but.
Yeah.
Yep.
My but, and it's a big but, is that...
And I cannot lie.
And I cannot lie. If you're looking at similar processors with similar thread counts, go for the Ryzen.
Okay. All right.
Along with your better graphics card also.
Right.
You feel that a separate graphics card
is essential. Yes.
Well, again, Photoshop can use your GPU.
And accelerated.
There's also a GPU compositing choice you can make. So if you've got a really good graphics card, that will also speed up Photoshop. So if you have both lots of threads and a good GPU, you win.
I was looking up the specs on a machine the other day, and it was an 8-core i9. It did 16 threads, but it had an AMD video card that had 2,560 threads in the video card, which is why video cards were in such short supply during the Bitcoin craze, because that's how you mine Bitcoins, is with massive video card arrays.
Right, because it needs all those threads. But in your case, a high thread count, preferably Ryzen, and a decent GPU, a graphics card, is going to get you farther ahead than anything else for Photoshop.
And you'll be assuming, happy with it a while.
Right, and assuming you turn on those options.
Yeah, I was unaware of those options. So
they may be on by default these days.
Yeah,
but in the beginning,
the builder of the machine can double check.
Multiprocessing wasn't that common in the early days, and if you turned it on and you didn't have a multi-threaded machine, it made it worse.
It's worse. So
okay, but you're
go ahead.
You're saying turn on preferences in what program?
In Adobe's Photoshop, under preferences.
Oh, okay. Okay. Photoshop, good.
In Photoshop, under Preferences, select Performance, and then enable multi-threading. Or I think they call it multi-threaded compositing.
One of the neat things that I like to do, there's a benchmark program called Cinebench.
Right.
And they have a free, I'll post a link in a minute, they have a free download that tests your computer, and then it'll post the results to their internet so that you can compare it with other processors. And they have a CPU and GPU a test where it renders an image, and on a four-core, a four-thread machine, you see four little squares filling in at the same time. And then on the eight-thread machine, you get eight little squares filling in. So to render one giant picture, the more threads you have, the more pieces of the picture it can build at once, and the faster it does the overall picture.
Right.
What is the name of that site?
Cinebench.
What you said?
He's posting
a
link
in a moment.
Cinebench?
Yep.
Yeah, he's going to post a link for you to check it out.
Cinematic Benchmarks.
Right.
Okay.
They have a free benchmarking program, and then they have commercial testing programs too.
All right. Well, okay. Once again, guys, you've given me a tremendous amount of information, and hopefully of some value to your other listeners. Thank you very much, and we'll remain tuned in.
Excellent.
See you Monday night.
Thanks.
Okay.
Have fun. Thanks. See you tomorrow night.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. And some of the information we gave him may be correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Always a possibility.
Always.
One of the articles that I found for Photoshop comparing Intel and AMD, they had a big note at the top. Look at the date. Make sure it says this is a recent article.
Yeah.
I hate when articles don't have any dates on it, and you can't tell if it's recent.
It could
or
be
not.
Right. 3-4 years old.
Right. And again, people often will stop me and say, I want to buy a new computer. What should I get? And they hate it when I say, what do you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're not ready for that. They just want to hear some specs.
Yeah, that's what... Well,
that's
that was,
not how it works anymore.
That was always my question to customers when they came into the shop and wanted me to build a machine. Because I'm not going to sell them a Cadillac when a mid-sized car is going to do you.
Yeah, or the other way around.
Yeah, I want to play a first-person shooter, but only spend $300.
Yeah, that's not happening.
The video card...
That was key information because, you know, they might get upset. But, you know, if I don't ask those questions and wasn't building, you know, they'd be the first ones to come in and say, oh, this machine is a piece of junk you sold me. It's not doing this or that very fast or this or that. And that's why you got to ask those questions and build to their needs, not only for now, but maybe even a little bit ahead. You know, because they might say, well, no, a 500 meg hard drive's fine. No, I'll do you the terabyte because you're always going to be filling up more space. Are you sure? Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, we've had that happen to us several times where someone comes in, they want to buy a used computer, you know, just for screwing around on the internet. Oh, okay, sure, you can get this one. They come back a week later. This thing is so slow, I can't play my games.
Right.
Yes, that's correct. You didn't say anything about games.
Yep. Right. Yep. Right. I've seen that more than you can believe.
Oh, yeah. We got that all the time.
I had faculty would come to me and say, I need a new computer. Why? This one's too slow. No, it isn't. Find out their kid plays games on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first, your kid shouldn't be using your work computer. That's first. And secondly, I'm not buying you your kid's gaming computer. I'm buying you the work computer that does Word and PowerPoint and Excel, and that's all you need for work.
Yep.
I had a woman that came in three different times getting viruses and that on her machine, and she was doing documents for a lawyer. And she goes, I got to have this machine now. And every time I turn around, it keeps getting infected, and I have to bring it into you. What's going on? And we'd find all these games and that on there.
Yep.
And downloading of songs. And that's when that bear share was going and everything else. And we'd have to clean it up. And she, you know, bring it in and say, well, it's full of junk again. How can you, you know, you got to stop this. I says, very easy. Does your son still play on it? Well, yeah, when I'm not using it, I let him play. I says, that's your problem. If you want to save yourself money, buy him a cheap computer that he can play on if he messes it up. Because otherwise, you bring it in loaded with junk, we're not cleaning it off again for free.
That's right.
Sorry, it just doesn't work that way. Well, that's kind of ridiculous. No, it's ridiculous that you're letting him play with your work machine.
And if work knew, they'd fire you. Oh, yeah. Just so you understand this.
Yeah.
We had a customer come in a while ago, and machine, you know, machine's really, really slow. So we open it up, and it wakes up to where it left off. He had 97 Chrome tabs open. Yes, it's going to be slow.
That's
going to
be slow. You should talk.
Yeah.
I don't have that many.
You've got more than the average.
There was a limit of 500 once. Well, someone said, I can't open any new tabs. And a message came up, you have 500 tabs open. I can't make a new one.
I think I've got on an average usually 12 to 15.
I can't tell you how many people I've showed how to make a group, take a bunch of tabs that are on your, that are open, and save them in a single folder. With just here that you've made a group now. Anytime you want those open again, you just click here. You don't have to leave them open. You don't have to remember what they are. You just click this, they all open.
See, most of them that I'm using, I'm checking different conditions, whether it's satellite positions or weather conditions, because the bands are always changing.
Sure.
And I've got different reference websites say that are, you know, updating the information, and it's different. So that all of a sudden now, like if I'm doing the 6 meter band, which they call the magical band, it can pop up early in the afternoon or whatever.
For you, it's a very different thing. But I've had people who said, "Oh, my computer is so slow." Well, you've got 10 tabs open. Each one takes half a gig of RAM or whatever it takes.
Yep.
You know, 300 meg or whatever, depends on how many pictures and everything else. And this is a site for a store. How often do you buy something there? Oh, about once a week. Okay, bookmark it and close it.
Yep. And Chrome, most of the browsers, have now spawned a new thread when a new tab is open.
Right.
So I can look at my activity monitor and see dozens of tabs open, you know, right now, too, because I've got so many things open.
Right.
But, yeah, that's going to slow you down. Try to stick with one.
Five.
And have a bookmark.
Five. I'll give you five.
Yeah.
Everything else should be bookmarked, and see how you can live with five. All right. That music tells us we are done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. I want to thank each and every one of you who called in. Great questions this week. Challenging questions this week. I like that very much. We are done for another week. If it looks like the RSS feed is still screwing up, I will do something about that later in the week. But don't forget to join us tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Go to soundbites.org/lounge. And at 9 p.m., refresh the screen and you'll see the link. And it's Soundbites and it's member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?